Our reading and preparation for Clint's message tonight comes from Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Joshua 1, 8 and 9. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Good evening. Once again, it's great to be with you. I always enjoy being here very much. It's a wonderful place, of course, wonderful people and wonderful worship. I'm very appreciative, and I always am just so glad to be here, and I appreciate all of you for that. I don't remember if it was last month or the month before, but we did a study on Solomon, and you know, about, of course, his wisdom, but then also how he had some trouble later in life, and he fell away in some aspects. And in doing that, it kind of informed a little bit of what I wanted to do with this evening's lesson, because I, you know, one of the things that I think about often when I'm praying is a little bit of a, I don't know, I feel like there's two things that kind of go hand in hand that I often pray for. And that's wisdom and courage. And I know this is a severe oversimplification, but a lot of times I think like that's what we need in to be faithful children, is wisdom and courage. Because I look at wisdom as, again, to oversimplify, just knowing what is right, and then I think of courage as being the strength to do what you know is right. And there are some things, of course, about what is right and what is wrong and how we serve God that are not just innate. Some things that, you know, maybe we look at and we kind of just gather pretty naturally about, you know, wronging people and so forth. But, of course, we need the revelation of God to truly know how to serve Him and to know what He wants us to do and what He would have us to do. It's not something that we can just look at as, you know, coming from the mind of man. We have to study the Bible in humility and pray for the wisdom to understand it, to build it into our hearts, to rightly divide the word of truth. And so I pray for that wisdom, that I can understand what the will of God is, to the best of my ability. We're taught to pray for that wisdom. But of course, that's not enough. It's not enough just to have wisdom and to have understanding. It requires some courage and some strength to put it into practice. It's not difficult to think of examples of people who knew what was right, knew the right thing to do, but didn't have the courage to do it. And, you know, I say that myself as an example. And probably, if we're honest, a lot of us can think of times where we knew the right thing to do, but we didn't have the courage to actually follow through and do it. And so as we pray for wisdom, I believe God will bless us in that. He rewards those who seek Him. We have lots of examples of that in Scripture, like in Acts of Cornelius and the Ethiopian eunuch, people who had that heart, and God rewarded them with the direction to know what to do. I believe that happens today providentially, maybe not in the same way it did in the book of Acts, but I believe that if we have open hearts, God rewards those who seek Him. We're told that. We're taught that. But again, it doesn't just end with coming to the truth, with knowing the truth, and with an understanding of what is right and wrong. So I wanted to spend a few moments tonight thinking about courage, and it being kind of a complement to wisdom, to understanding. And we will be in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. We had a couple passages read toward the end of this, but I wanted to, and it's a little bit longer, but we're going to look at Joshua and his courage and then probably and hopefully make some applications for our own lives. So I want to begin with the need for that courage. And in Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, and as we go through, kind of pay attention to how many times God directs Joshua to be courageous. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So three times, just in those few verses, God speaking to Joshua tells him to be courageous. He wanted Joshua to abandon his fear, to set aside his dismay, and to remember that God is with him. What do we think about when we hear the word courage? We may initially think of people who face danger. I know that I have such incredible respect for people who have served in the military, for people who have been and are police officers, firefighters. I mean, things that I have never done. I teach 10-year-olds for a living, which some may say require some courage, but nothing compared to what a lot of people have to do in their lives, and they sign up for this. They say, I'm willing to put myself in harm's way in order to protect other people. And I think that is, incredibly courageous. And for some people, some things take more courage than others. I think that's true as well, depending on our personalities and maybe our feelings and our natural dispositions. Like for one, I know I don't have a fear of public speaking. Obviously, it's what I'm doing now. And, really teaching is a little bit of a form of public speaking. And I don't know why. It's just never something that bothered me. I'm not saying I'm good at it. I'm just saying I was never, never anxious about it. And there was, Jerry Seinfeld had a joke a long time ago where he joked about how people, the number one, fear of the common person is public speaking, and number two is death. And he joked that if you're at a funeral, the average person is better off in the casket than giving the eulogy, which, it's a joke, but it does kind of point out that, people have a fear of public speaking, but I never have. And just to be honest, it doesn't take a lot of courage for me to do this. To speak publicly. I don't have much apprehension about studying or, preparing a lesson or standing up and talking to people. I've told people that I work with, I would rather, because sometimes like at the beginning of the year, we do these little icebreakers, with people. And I've told people, I would rather stand up and give a speech in front of 10,000 people than be involved in an icebreaker with two people that I don't know. Like that makes me anxious. That's what I'm afraid of, being in a, you know, just having to have, you know, small talk with people that I don't know. Like just that gives me more anxiety than this. And I say all these things to kind of point out that, you know, we're all different, and it requires courage for us to do different things. I don't have any problem doing this, but I'll admit that it takes a lot of courage for me to speak to people outside of the church and to evangelize the way that I know that I should. You know, again, I'm just trying to be honest. Like, it does take courage for me to do that. I do feel anxious. I am worried about what might be said, or if I say the wrong thing, or how I'm going to be looked at, or if it's uncomfortable. That does take courage for me. And I think we might, and again, I'm speaking for myself first, and maybe you can relate. It's easy for us to kind of fall into the things that we're comfortable with and sort of allow that and maybe tell ourselves in the back of our minds, well, I'm doing this, so it's okay if I don't do as much as this. And, you know, for me to just do the things that are easy for me, that I'm comfortable with, that don't require any courage, I don't know that that's what is pleasing to God. I believe we need to do things, all the things that God calls us to do, even if they're the things that require a little bit of courage. And I know that we all have different responsibilities within the church. We're a body made up of different parts. We don't all do the same things. But I hope that I don't use that as an excuse for not doing some of the things that I know I should do, that I could be better at. For me to say, you know, I get up and I can give a sermon, and you know that's something I'm doing for God, so it's okay if I don't do as much of the evangelism part or speaking to people outside of the church, I don't think that's pleasing to God. I think I need to summon the courage to do the things that require that courage of me. One of my favorite verses in all of the Bible is Isaiah 6:8. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." And it just almost gives me chills thinking about it. And that embodies the way that I hope I can be for God. Whatever you need, here I am, I'll do it. Send me, I'm willing to do it, even if it's not something I'm comfortable with. To use a sports analogy, there was a great, great, great hitter named Ted Williams, like back in the 1940s, one of the best who ever did it. And he was just obsessed with hitting. He loved hitting. He said, I want people to say, there goes the greatest hitter who ever lived. And, you know, I've loved baseball most of my life. And one story that always kind of stuck out to me was, there was a story about him. He was an outfielder. So he was out in the outfield, and he was swinging an imaginary bat, you know, just like practicing his swinging. When he's out in the outfield, you're supposed to be focused on, you know, catching the ball, on playing defense, but he was so kind of focused on the thing that he cared about, it was kind of like he was neglecting the other parts of playing baseball that were also important. And you know, I want to relate that to myself. Like, there are things that I can do in the service of God that I'm comfortable with. I don't want to neglect the other things and not be a full servant of God and just focus on the things that, you know, don't require as much courage for me to do. In 2 Timothy 3:16, we read that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So we have the truth of God that is perfect and complete, that the man of God, verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We think about this passage telling us how complete the Word of God is and that it's perfect and you know, good for everything. But verse 17 says it's that we can be complete and equipped for every good work. And again, we have roles. It's not that every person has to do everything within the body to meet that. But I think I need to summon the courage to not be like the servant who buried his talent and wasn't going out and courageously doing all the things that we know we should do. So what does courage look like in our lives? I want to go back to Joshua chapter 10. You know, going ahead to chapter 10, we saw the Lord talk to Joshua about having the courage, about being strong, about not being dismayed. Then in verse 10, or chapter 10, excuse me, chapter 10, verse 1, as soon as Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, heard how Joshua had captured Ai and had devoted it to destruction, doing to Ai and its king as he had done to Jericho and its king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, he feared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city, like one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all its men were warriors. So Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent to Hoham, king of Hebron, to Piram, king of Jarmuth, to Japhia, king of Lachish, to Debir, king of Eglon, saying, come up to me and help me, and let us strike Gibeon, for it has made peace with Joshua and with the people of Israel. Then the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered their forces and went up with all their armies and encamped against Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua at the camp in Gilgal, saying, do not relax your hand from your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites who dwell in the hill country are gathered against us. So Joshua went up from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have given them into your hands. Not a man of them shall stand before you. God tells Joshua, be courageous. And then when enemies are in front, when enemies mounting, God reminds him, do not be afraid. Do not fear them. God assured Joshua that he would be victorious. And that assurance can mean so much in our lives and can provide us with so much courage. I mentioned this morning, I'm from West Virginia, and I'm a West Virginia Mountaineers fan, and which can be up and down. But sometimes, I can't always watch a game when it's on, so I'll record it, or I'll try to go back and watch it later. And I always try not to figure out who wins, because it's a lot more exciting to watch it if you don't know the outcome. But sometimes I'll accidentally find out, and, you know, we had a game a few weeks ago, I remember, we found out we won, and I wanted to watch the end of that game, and it was really exciting, but I know watching it, like, I wasn't nervous. I wasn't upset. I knew we were going to win. It was a totally different experience than when you're watching it live. When you're watching it live and you don't know the outcome, I can get kind of emotional. I can get kind of engaged in what's going on. And I get tense and I get excited and I get nervous. But when you know the outcome, it's a totally different experience. There's no fear, there's no worrying, there's no getting anxious. And of course I want to tie that to, you know, what God has told us. When we look at what happens beyond this life, there's no mystery to it. There's no questioning if God will be victorious over sin. If Christ will or will not have risen from the grave and overcome death. There's no question whether or not we can share in that resurrection. It's over. It's complete. The work has been done. Christ has died on the cross and taken away our sins. And so we don't have to fear that. We don't have to have anxiety about what lies beyond this life. We can be like Joshua and know that we can be victorious. And we can have that courage. And we can know that. In 1 John 5:4, everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? We can know that we can overcome through Christ. We know it's already been settled, it's already been decided, and the battle is won. I might have told this story before, but when I was a little kid, my dad used to take me to some dirt track races. And I was just little, and you know, he would kind of ask me, you know, who's going to be your car in this race? Who do you want to pick? Which one are you going with? And so I would pick a car. And you know, it's the craziest thing. By the end of the race, somehow I had picked a car that was always going to be in front. And even when another car passed it, I changed and wanted the car that was in front. And I always ended up with the one that was ahead. Even if I had to change throughout the race, I ended up with the one that was winning. And it was just so fortunate for me as that little kid that I happened to always change and pick the one that was in front. It's just great, great fortune on my part. But I mean, as Christians, you know, it is that easy. Like, we know who wins this battle over sin. We see it. We just pick the side that's on forgiveness and mercy and being with God in eternity and being in heaven. We can overcome the world because we know that Christ has won. And we can have that courage. And even if it's things that may cause us a little anxiety that we may be uncomfortable with, we know that God has overcome. And we know that even the smallest thing that we do will be recognized by God. And even if we do something and it doesn't go the way we'd hoped, God knows our hearts. And he recognizes when we are courageous for Him and when we're willing to stand for Him and do the things that are difficult for us. And when, no matter the outcome, we say, "Here am I, send me." He knows that. In Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." We can go out into the world confident, courageous, fully equipping ourselves in the armor of God and proclaiming His name to the world, fighting temptation and sin and encouraging others to do the same. Whatever it is in your life that you need courage for, God can supply it for you. And the results can be amazing things. So as we close, picking up in Joshua 10, we talked about Joshua being commanded by God to be courageous and to not be fearful. And we see all these things mounting against Joshua and God telling him, "Do not be afraid." And then to close, we'll read a few verses in Joshua 10 to see what happens when Joshua does that. Joshua 10, beginning in verse 9. "So Joshua came upon them suddenly, having marched up all night from Gilgal, and the Lord threw them into a panic before Israel, who struck them with a great blow at Gibeon and chased them by the way of the ascent of Beth Horon and struck them as far as Azekah and Makkedah. And as they fled before Israel, while they were going down the ascent of Beth Horon, the Lord threw down large stones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died because of the hailstones than the son of Israel killed with the sword. At that time, Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord gave them the Amorites over to the sons of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, 'Sun, stand still at Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon.' And the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, until the nation took vengeance on their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jashar? The sun stopped in the midst of heaven. It did not hurry to set for about a whole day. There has been no day like it before or since, when the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. So Joshua returned and all Israel with him to the camp at Gilgal." Joshua was courageous, and he was willing to do what God had commanded. And to accomplish that, he asked the sun to stand still, and it stood still so that Joshua could complete what God wanted him to do. God suspended the laws of nature to give him an opportunity to fulfill the thing that he was required to do. That's what courage can lead for us. Maybe not in that exact same manner, but the things that we need from God, He will supply for us if we are courageous to do what He has asked us to do. So let's pray that we have wisdom to rightly know the direction that God wants us to go, to know in those moments what the right thing to do is, to have the right mindset and the right heart when we are provided opportunities. And then also pray that God will help supply us with the courage necessary to do what we know we need to do. Tonight, if you are not a Christian, or if you are and you need the prayers of the church for strength, for help, just for prayers, I know that that is something that can take courage to do. It may not be easy for you to step forward and to do that. I know that. But we stand as loving brothers and sisters to give you whatever we need and to be there for you and to help supply you with that courage. If there's anything you need, come forward as together we stand and sing.